I would suggest that it's highly unlikely the employee's going to end up paying more under the Delta Premier than they would under the current MetLife contract.
You mean Delta PPO?
The current insurance that you have right now. In other words, MetLife actually does not have very many people in their PPO.
Right.
Right? So right now, a lot of your people are out there going to non-contracted dentists. Because we've written the contract as strong as it is, your people don't know the difference because it pays 100% mm-hmm. either way. Right? You're going to have the same thing going with Delta, other than you have people that are actually in the Premier network, which precludes balanced billing, which is actually an enhancement over MetLife. Technically, if they go to some dentist, that 1%, right, if they go to that one dentist that charges more than what they're willing to pay, then the employee could end up having to pay that. And in some cases, we've seen a few bills, and Don could talk, you know, to that. It's usually not very much, but it's some. Under the Delta Premier program, they are still considered in-network. So there is no such thing as balanced billing. The dentist can't bill that back to the patient.
You're saying under the Delta Premier program, but we're not going to be on the Delta Premier program, are we?
Yes, both networks. You've got the Premier and the PPO. So the way it's quoted is you've got any of the dentists in either one of those networks.
Very confusing.
Gotcha. And so that's from our standpoint, maybe the spreadsheet is not as clear as it can be. All the Premier dentists are in network with in the quote that you have. I want to be very clear on that.
That's not what I've been hearing.
Okay. Well, that is the case. It is that what's quoted includes the Premier dentist. So Parkcrest, I know you guys have talked with them and some other things. Mm-hmm. They would accept your insurance. They would be a Premier provider. They would send it into Delta, and that's the way it would be adjudicated. So both networks are included in that quote.
Okay. All those that are listening that we've gotten back from Don when we asked this question, that was very confusing what came back.
Okay.
What we're going on tape is saying is that the Delta Premier is in this program as in network.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And if we were not clear on that, then our apologies. But
no,
that is.
It was very confusing.
I explain it to you and make it understood. So.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. No, you've got all the dentists. One of the things with Delta that is very nice is that you have just about any dentist that you go to. I can't say any dentist because there's someone out there that doesn't take it.
Yeah, we've got one here in town.
Right. But if they, as long as they're in that Premier network, which almost everybody is, then they are part of this program, part of this quote.
Let's look at vision and then if they're connected by price. Any differences there?
The only differences are basically positive. There's $10 copays instead of $15 for several services. Contacts, there's a $250 allowance versus paid in full after a copay, so that the copay is a little higher. Other than that, very simple. And slightly less expensive.
And do you need the minimum participation that's highlighted there to meet all those standards on that? Okay.
Yes.
Move to accept the offer by Delta for both vision and dental.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Moving on, we do have a quote from MetLife on your life insurance that is slightly less expensive. versus Dearborn. However, we have several other services with Dearborn, the short-term disability, the long-term disability, that we are not able to get a competitor to match because you guys have a lower participation rate. It's voluntary. You also have some very liberal administrative guidelines where you can choose different things that other carriers are not going to allow. Based on the fact that Dearborn writes all the other coverages, it's one bill, one neck to ring, as one of my clients likes to put it, I would recommend that you stay with Dearborn National on your life, voluntary life, short and long-term disability.
Anybody have any discussion? I move that we stay with the Dearborn National.
Second. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Mrs. Moore, are we missing anything?
Yes. We need to find out how the commission wants to do the dependent cost for medical for 2022. This current year, you're paying the
50%. Oh. Assuming we do the same that we've done. Move to keep the dependent copay and employee pay the same as 2021.
And that is what?
I think it's 100% of employee and 50% of dependent care.
That's what our record shows.
Do I, David?
On medical.
On medical.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Smoking cessation, we talk about this every year, or tobacco cessation, or whatever the proper term is. And we always say, well, we need to give them a year. We need to quit giving them a year and actually do something.
Well, we need to actually give them that year. So, in other words, we would need an open enrollment to probably be able to go out and say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to make it effective 1-1 of 23.
And you offer them the resources to
yes.
get off in that year,
right.
training to try to make them healthier people for their protection.
But what we're seeing on our claims is not necessarily tobacco related, is it?
It's hard to say. You've got several cancers. Whether those are caused by tobacco, I couldn't tell you. Obviously, you know. But
is there any other programs or anything else we can offer or make, I don't want to say make people do, but make it contingent upon the rates?
Other than tobacco?
Yes.
Yes. At our agency, for our personal policy, we have to establish a relationship with a primary care physician and be able to show an explanation of benefits of going in for a checkup. Number two, we have to complete health risk assessment, which I think is Friday, if I remember right. So everybody at our office is eating salads and minding the P's and Q's right now. So you have to complete that and at least get your numbers once a year, and so it tests for cholesterol and blood pressure and all the things. There are, other programs beyond that you can go to, but typically that's where people would start, would be with those type of things if you're wanting to promote wellness and do that. Again, letting people know that, hey, 1-1 of 23, you're going to have to be able to show that you went in for a checkup and you have an established relationship and those type of things.
Not getting personal, but it seems to have worked very well with you. Noticed quite a difference there.
Thank you.
What I've seen from ones that have talked on the employees that we seem to have a problem with is diabetes, controlling our diet, health, and learning. There's where I've one talked to me just the other day who was on a list of causing special equipment and so forth, and because he went and he was borderline diabetic, he's lost, I think, like, I don't know what now, but about 40 pounds then, really taking notice of his health. So education to, and getting them to, what I see, the ones that I'm out with, is diabetes is growing.
I think that's been our major claims, has it not? So that's what I was specifically asking about. I don't know if there's a way to...
Well, you can, some of our clients, and it's typically, a few years into the, you wade into the pool as opposed to jumping in the deep end, but we do have some clients that now require, if there is, as part of your health risk assessment, if your blood sugar's off, then they will require you to get coaching for that particular issue, whatever your issue is, and hopefully try to, tell you, identify maybe some of the things you're doing that are contributing to it, to try to help you with some alternatives, some things like that. But there are, coaching and other resources that are part of those programs that are typically a little more mature.
What has better success, those types of things, or knowing the demographic of our employee, would be better to provide something before making it mandatory?
Well,
does that make sense what I'm asking? If there's a, hey, we really encourage you guys to utilize this, you don't have to, we're not going to base your rates on this, especially the first year or whatever it is, I wonder if it would benefit the county if we were to bring in a coach or bring in a, hey, here's an individual that will keep you just accountability,
mm-hmm.
and train and coach and, hey, these are the right things, these are the wrong things.
Yeah.
I just wonder if we'd have better success at that than we would, hey, if you don't do this, we're going to raise, you're going to have to pay part of your premium.
Yeah. And different employers do it different ways. And certainly, yes. I mean, if the first year, 2 years, whatever, is strictly educational, that's great. I mean, even within your health insurance program, if somebody's identified with diabetes, the carrier does reach out and they've got a program where they try to get them in and, educate them and do those things, but candidly, the insurance carriers don't have a lot of luck with that because people don't answer their phones and they don't respond or whatever else. So if the resources are brought in by the county and not the big bad insurance company, it's usually there's better uptake. And so yes, we could obviously educate, hit people with here's some things. If we want to provide some resources, we certainly can, or some educational opportunities. But then again, you guys are spread out, so we have to figure out some logistics. But yeah, we can do it.
I know Cox reaches out. I get emails consistently on different eating habits and things for diabetes, and some of it is very educational for me because it tells me some things I can eat and what I can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you follow them then?
Well, I look at them. I mean, I'm not saying that I...
Well, it goes back to that, but an email doesn't supply any accountability.
No.
If you have somebody asking you on a daily, weekly basis, what did you eat? What, track it, what are you doing? That's a whole lot harder to...
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while, you just get shamed. Like, whoa, okay, I had three pieces of candy, and I lied about it. I mean,
well, like I was hoping that this one, by this one employee taking it serious and everything, I was hoping it would be an influence on the other. I was wondering if I was told that